Well, good morning. Are you here? If you're not here, raise your hand. Okay, good. At least you're honest. That way I can find out who's sleeping, if you know if you're here or not, you know, and just glad to be here today. I've been preaching for 45 years. I know I don't look any older than 35, but I have been preaching about 45 years or so. And I don't think I've ever gotten in the pulpit this fast at any place, you know. Normally I can get real scared, sit over there and just get real nervous before I ever get in the pulpit. But y'all don't give a preacher time to get nervous. You just show up and here it is. But that's okay. But it's, I always love coming here. I got some friends. I do have friends. And they're from the South and they do come up here and they think this is real cold. Is this cold yet?
No,
still summer, isn't it? And pretty much. But back there on the back row in this center, Gary Powell is right there. He's the one. Yeah, he's right there. Yeah, he lived in Wyoming for years. And Gary is a long, long, long time friend, about 25, 26, 27 years or something like that. I met him, he's from Tennessee, so that's not too bad, Walt, not bad, he's a Vol fan, but he and I met in Spain, how about that, two southern guys meet in Spain, and it wasn't in southern Spain, it was in north Spain, and met there, he was a missionary with the mission board, and we needed somebody to help us translate, or I don't know any Spanish. I can get in trouble real fast. My wife really can get in trouble real fast. And I said, no, the story we can't tell up here. And it was good. But anyway, Gary was our help back in those days and became real good friends and moved back here and then ended up with a kind of a tour out in Wyoming, pastoring there in a little church called La Barge. A little teeny weeny weeny town. You look one way and you see nothing. You look another way and you see nothing. But you're what, 6,000 feet up, Gary? Something like that. That was the elevation of the town, but you saw nothing. And it was funny. I was standing across the street one day and we were going to eat in a place. It was a bar. That's where you eat breakfast. Everything happens in a bar in the West. And so we were walking through there and I had a pair of Crocs on and a big coat on and looked and found that it was 0 degrees. And it didn't feel like it was zero, but it was cold. It was quite cold. But anyway, he's been a good friend. Now he pastors in Selma, Alabama, with Sardis at Shiloh Baptist Church where the couple right next to them are members, Jim and Rosemary Harris. And we kind of connect way back. I was in Selma and they knew who I was. I knew who he was because he was a banker. Not that I owed him any money, but he was a banker. And Rosemary and Debbie taught together whenever they were teaching school in the town of Selma. And so Gary is their pastor. And so we're just thrilled that they're up here. Just through Rosemary and Jim have been here several times and just been blesses us by coming. I guess it's Gary's first time, so be real good to Gary. Maybe he'll come back for the second time. All right. But these are these folks are from the South. These are incredible people right here. A lot of things have happened in this community out of this body of believers here, and we're grateful. And I tell the story of this church wherever I go, of how God takes a prayer meeting and reaches a community. And don't ever stop your prayer meeting. That is the lifeblood of your church. That's the only thing that gets heaven to earth, your prayer meeting. So never miss your prayer meeting time if all possible. Well, over the past several weeks or so, you guys have been looking at dealing with tribulations because Jesus said you're going to have them. And have you had one this week? Yeah, amen, you're normal, and you're alive, you know, you check your pulse. If you go through a day not having going through some sort of tribulation, you need to find out if you're in where you are. Because if you're walking on this earth, you will meet tribulation. And doesn't mean that you're walking in sin. Often it means that you're walking with God. He will lead you, and he'll take you in this world Whenever he may say, go over here in this area, and you know it's the will of God, and you're moving in that area, and you say, wow, everything's falling apart. That's okay. You know, I was reading this week, this is not all my message, but I was reading this week in the scriptures, and Jesus was right there. He got through praying. Nobody wanted to pray with him, and they all wanted to sleep. He came back, came out, and of course, all of these soldiers came out there to get him. And I think it was Peter had one of the swords. And Jesus, that's when Jesus said, go ahead and get a sword. You're going to need them. They had two of them, and they whacked off a servant's ear. Jesus made a statement. He said, permit this. Permit this. Permit, you know, don't get in the way. This is normal. This is what was going to happen. Permit this. In other words, I'm pulling the plug. It's all going to cave in. It's all caving in, but don't worry about it. I got it. It's all going to cave in. And I was reading, and I said, Lord, that's what happens in our life sometimes. There are times when the Lord will say, I'm going to pull the plug here, and some things are going to cave in on you. But just hang in. You'll move through it. You'll move through it. You will walk through it. Today we're going to talk about an area that we walk through, and many of you are probably in this, or if you're not in it, you know some people that will be in this. Our passage is going to come from the last part of 2 Timothy. When Paul was writing to Timothy, he was in his last days, and he made some statements, and we began to see some things in the life of Timothy today as he was walking through one of the hardest times of tribulation in his life that you can identify with. But he shares with us some things of how what he walked through and some things of how he got through it. And we're going to share that with you in a moment. But we're going to take about a few minute little break here. And I need to go get some more coffee and really get awake here this morning. And while you're doing this, as you're milling around, I want you to go to people and say this, okay? And you'll know why later on. I'm here. Isn't that profound? I'm here. just say it, because somewhere along the line, they're going to need to know that you're here. Okay, can we do that? So I'm going to pray for you, and we're going to take a little break here. And you do that, whatever you need to do, get back here as soon as you can, because I've got something, it's going to be pretty exciting, I think, at the end. And it's going to be pretty exciting. So, Lord, thank you for our time. As we journey through this time today, I know, Lord, you have a word for us. Lord, we know that you're here. And, Lord, we need to know that we are here, and others need to know that we're here. And that's a word that you have for us today. And so we look forward to sharing that now. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen. See you in just a moment, okay? Go get a cup of coffee to stay awake while I'm preaching. And have a good word for you. And say to people around you, I'm here. Hey, if everyone can kind of move back in, bring your pie. That pie was good, wasn't it? I mean, that was made from heaven, I think. Okay. When everybody gets in here, we'll get ready. You can bring your pie with you. It's okay to eat in church. I'll wait. You're here. I'm glad. Anybody else here? Did anybody else know that you're here? Did you tell someone that you were here? That you were going? We're going to leave after a while, and we're going to say, I'm gone. You can bring it in, Deb. Okay, you can bring it. I used to preach at an Indian church in Fort Worth when I was in seminary. And I mean, and it was quite interesting. I'm part Creek, so, but I wasn't used to that. They would just come in and out and move around. I mean, they just started church when they wanted to, ended it when they wanted to, brought in what they wanted to, brought their lunch in when they wanted to, and it was pretty good. It was pretty good. Years and years ago, my daughter's 42 years old, 41 years of age, and she had every little book in the world when she was a little kid, and she had a book in her room, and one day I was in there and kind of looking at her little books, because she loved to read, and found a little book, and it had a picture on the front of the book. It was about like this, had a picture in front of the book. It was a little boy, and he had his head in his hands, and he had this look of despair. I mean, it's a sad-looking little thing. He had a little dog right next to him, and looking up at him, had his tongue out, like saying, you know, come, let's play. And he was trying to bring some happiness to this little boy. The title of the book was, I'm Lonely. I'm Lonely. I thought about that book whenever I looked at it, about this little boy being lonely, and started thinking, I wonder how many more people around in this world are in the same situation, got their heads in their hands, and maybe they don't have a little dog around them wanting to cheer them up, but maybe there's someone else around trying to cheer them up, or maybe there's no one around trying to cheer them up. But they're very, very lonely. You know, loneliness is something that many people, quite a few people, go through within their own life. Loneliness isn't just about being alone, but it's not liking being alone. Sometimes you kind of like being by yourself, do you? I do. I like being by myself at times. I really do. But it's not about being by yourself. It's not liking being by yourself. Whenever you're by yourself and you don't like it, then that's that idea of loneliness. And loneliness is one of the most, I guess it's one of the most desolate words in the English language. Years ago, there was a group called Three Dog Night. Any of you remember that group? Okay. You know how they got the name Three Dog Night. It was so cold that you had to have three dogs to stay warm. That was some why it's called Three Dog Night. They had a song they made very popular. It was called Two. Yeah, One. Can you sing the song? Okay, One was the longest number you've ever known. One. Yeah, One. It's a desolate number. Desolate number. The Carpenters had a song that came out, and Debbie was bringing that song to me, and Lonely, about how to be, about being so lonely. It's a desolate idea, desolate word, that idea of loneliness. And loneliness, you know, hits anyone, and we all experience loneliness in some way or another. It can come through a death, where someone has passed away that's real close, you can be a parent or whatever, and you feel so alone because that person's no longer there, and you feel very, very, very much alone. You can go through changing locations, moving, if those who've moved, and you move into a new community, and if you don't watch it, you can feel very much alone. That's why it's important to connect to a body like this, but you can feel very much alone. You can go into various places. When someone goes through a divorce, those people feel very much, very much alone. I was reading about there was a psychologist named Gary Collins. He made a statement about loneliness, and he stated this. He says, we live in a loneliness producing society, where it produces loneliness. You ever thought about society we live in produces loneliness? Technology, modern technology, discourages intimacy and encourages loneliness. You go and look at a restaurant and you watch people around the table. Instead of communicating here and here, what are they doing? Man, they're running those thumbs, aren't they? No one around the table's talking. They're talking to someone else that they can't hear a voice. And so our modern technology even encourages That idea of loneliness. We just went through the COVID deal, and my word, how many people felt lonely, couldn't get around anyone, felt so isolated, felt so much alone. And so this loneliness idea, it is there, and it has no barriers. It involves, invades anyone's life and every person's life. You can be around a lot of people and still feel lonely. Still feel lonely. One of the loneliest things many of you, I don't know if you've ever, many of you have ever really had to deal with this much if you've lived in a settled community, but moving into a community and coming into a church building and not knowing a single person. Some of y'all have done that. Wondering, you know, don't know anyone. And the sad thing is whenever they come in feeling lonely, and the really sad thing is when they leave and still feel just as much alone, but no one is going to share with them or talk to them. That's why that important part is that in between, in a worship time. It's important. Well, today I want to talk to you about loneliness for just a little bit. We're going to look over in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And Paul, in this passage, is talking about loneliness, about himself. Paul was a very lonely man. He had a lot of people around him. He had a lot of people trying to get him. There were other people in Scripture that walked through loneliness also, not only just Paul, but Elijah. I mean, no one wanted to hang out with Elijah. Guys by the name of Zacchaeus, very little man, tax collector. Nobody wanted to hang out with that guy at all. And even Joseph and sometimes Moses. And he led 2 million people. But he wanted to put a tent up away from everyone so he could just spend time with God. But every time he was around people, he was always hearing complaints. And I know Moses felt very, very much alone. But Paul, in this passage, starting there in verse 9, let me just read several verses and we're going to look at them, okay? Starting in verse 9 of 2 Timothy 4, it says this. It says, "Be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica, Christians for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry. Antiochus I have sent to Ephesus. Bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas when you come, then the books, especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his ways. You also must be aware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. At my first defense, no one stood with me, but I all forsook me. May not be charged against them, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me, and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for this heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen." I want to look at several things about this, where Paul is. Paul was nearing death. Death was coming to him. This was pretty much the last stand of Paul. I mean, everything is ending within his life. And we find him here writing this letter at a very lonely state in his life. Just notice with me quickly where he was. What was going on within his life at that time? He was in a dungeon. He was in a prison. That's where he was. He wasn't in a hotel room, wasn't at a conference center, wasn't in a building like this that was warm, but he was in a maritime dungeon, prison, cold, damp. If you're awaiting execution, probably the dungeon will kill you quicker than the time of your execution. It was a place that you never wanted to end up, and it was a place of just dating, waiting death. It was waiting death. This is where he was. Very unpleasant place. But also, not only was in that dungeon, he was very much all alone. You'll notice in verse 9, he said, "Be diligent, come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world." And he starts making a list of other people that were there one time, but now they're all gone. Everyone's left him. Only Lucas has remained there with him. No one else is around him at all. He was all alone. The only one that would probably come around that he knew of was his bully, mentioned down in verse 14. But there he was. He was very much all alone. Another thing we'll take note of is that the season was changing, the winter. He said, "Come before the winter. Come before the winter." Why is that? Why did he tell Timothy, "Come before the winter"? Well, possibly because if you're going to sail, you need to do it but not in the winter time because the seas get quite rough. But thinking about it where we are in just daily life, the changing of seasons can bring about a lonely time. Not only the seasons of the four seasons that we have, or if you live where I used to live in South Alabama, we had two seasons, very hot and not so hot. That was the two seasons we had. And up here you have basically the four seasons. Well, you have more than that. You have mud season too. But the times of the seasons of life can bring about loneliness. The seasons of life, the older we get, it can bring about loneliness. When we start thinking about it, I'm pushing towards 70 right now. I have less birthdays ahead of me than what I have had. I have less Christmases than what I had. And the time of the seasons of life can bring about loneliness because it seems as then everything begins to close in on you a little bit more. Things are getting tighter. Things are becoming a little bit more, the future isn't as good on earth. I'm not talking about eternity. I'm talking about on earth. But those certain seasons can deal with you. Death was near to Paul. I mean, in verse 6, he said, "Man, I'm coming to the very end of my life. The end of my life." And it was real to him. Real to him. "When I was 18 years of age, I never thought about death. Coming around 70 years of age, oh, you do, because you have a lot of your friends that have passed away." Death becomes so real to you and loneliness begins to set into your life. You know, whenever you begin to go back and think of past memories, and Paul did that with the people there, that's why he wanted all those people to come, the guys to come. Past memories, things we used to do, and it's quite remarkable. He wanted John Mark to come, you know, because they had a little run-in. Paul didn't want him to hang out anymore because he was soft, but he wanted to hang out now. Those memories, trying to relive a lot of those memories. Well, that's where he was. This real man who wrote about everything in the New Testament. This man whom the Lord chose, this man whom was so revered, knew everybody, started all of those churches, was a man there we find as a man being very, very lonely. But what did he do about it? Did he just kind of say, "Well, I'm just going to, you know, curl up in a corner and just die? Or am I going to just say, woe is me, and have a self-pity party, and no one's invited except me, myself, and I? Small group?" You know, how do you handle loneliness? How do you handle when no one else is hanging out with you, no one else is around you? How do you handle whenever someone maybe begins to push you away, or maybe you're coming to the time of your life where your body's beginning to fall apart a little bit more and you can't do what you used to do and you can't go with others like you used to go with others? What do you do whenever a spouse is no longer there and you're all by yourself and that group that you used to run around with no longer really invites you because you feel like a third wheel? What do you do? Well, Paul shares some things here of kind of a cure for loneliness, how to take care of that loneliness. So let's kind of look at these for a moment, just some cure, and they're twofold. I've always kind of lived by using the idea of vertical horizontal. I live vertically before my Lord and with my Lord, and I live horizontally with others walking life. Life is always divided into those two realms, vertically, horizontally, or heavenly and earthly. How do you deal with loneliness? Well, Paul dealt with it in both ways. We see Paul, as he dealt with this in the first way, he dealt with it in the earthly way. The earthly way, that's where he was. He was walking on earth. So how did he deal with it? And how can we deal with loneliness here while we're walking on earth? How can we deal with loneliness? Here's the first thing. Here's the first thing of dealing with loneliness. You must have companionship. I'm not talking about you have to be married. I'm talking about you've got to have some people around you. You got to have people around you. There in verse 9 and verse 11, he talks about the people that were there at one time. And in verse 11, he talks about Luke, who is with me right now. And he said, get Mark and bring him with you. He said, listen, I need some companionship. So he began to invite some people. But did you notice something? He did not invite the world to come to him. He invited some close people to come to him. Whenever you're lonely, you don't need everybody in a community to show up at your house. But there are certain people that you really want to come to your house. Am I right? I mean, there are certain people that you really, really trust and that you can just open up with and you can talk and you don't have to feel like you're entertaining them. They're there because they want to be there. And they will receive you if you're tearing up or if you're angry or whatever. They're going to receive you because they're close to you and they're friends to you. It's these people, that companionship. It's what the church needs to be like that. But there's that companionship. But you notice in this thing, you know, he invited certain people to come see him. But here's something about dealing with loneliness. Often you've got to let other people know that you are lonely. Everybody puts on the Sunday smile, don't they? How you feeling? Well, I just feel, praise the Lord, so wonderful. And inside you just say, oh, I wish I could just get out of here and just awful. You know, we had that we don't want anybody to know how we really feel. Does that ever happen up north? That happens in the South all the time, because in the South, everybody's got to feel good, you know, everybody's got to smile, because you don't want them to know you're hurting. You don't want them to know that you're really all by yourself and that you're alone and that you're in dire need. You don't want anybody to do that, but how in the world can others minister to you if you don't let them know where you are? It's called honesty. It's called being transparent. Just transparent. I shared with you last week about depression, and I went through about a year and a half, and I shared it with a small group of what I was walking with. But man, when I shared it on a Sunday morning, and we had a close TV audience of about 10,000 people, and I shared that on a Sunday morning, I think everybody, if anybody had false teeth, they dropped out. I mean, they just, couldn't believe it. Couldn't believe I had walked in depression, but could not believe I admitted it. Transparency. If you're lonely, let somebody know it. Let somebody know it. Just let somebody know it. And here's Paul. Paul is saying, hey, man, I'm at the bottom of things right now, and I'm having a pretty tough time, and I really need you to come and to help me. But here's something else about how to deal with loneliness. Not only companionship, you need people around you. You know, ask somebody to come see you. Hey, ask, if they won't ask you to go get a cup of coffee, ask them if you can go get a cup of coffee or just come and sit. that you're able to talk to them and let them know where you are in your life. Here's the second thing real quick. You need to be aware of your, not just spiritual life, your physical life, your health. Your health matters when you're lonely. It really matters. Paul here asked this in verse 13. He says, listen, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus. Bring my cloak. Bring my sweater. Bring my wrap. It's going to get cold, and I've got to take care of myself. When you're going through loneliness, or you're going through depression, you're going through anything, listen, do not neglect your physical body. Take care of it. It deteriorates whenever you're walking through tribulations, because it takes so much energy out of you, and you need to take care of yourself. The body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Take care of it. Warm it. Exercise it. Whatever you need to do to take care of it. Here's the third thing that Paul uses in here. He says, listen, you need to learn to expand your mind and your heart. Expand it. In verse 13, something he asked for, he said, listen, you know, bring me my cloak, and then while you're coming, bring me a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Is that what he said in there? Bring me a Diet Coke. What did he ask for? You tell me. What in verse 13, he asked for the cloak. And what else did he ask for? Books. You mean to tell me that in his last days of living, he just wanted to read a book? Yeah. And it was some fantasy book. He wanted to read. He says, I'll learn until my last day. I'm not going to waste a moment. I'm going to learn. Read. You say, well, I just don't like reading that much. Well, it's a good time to start. It's a good time to start. If you don't, even don't like to read by word and have a hard time, get the books that's on audio. You know, be fed. Get something into you. Get something into you. Expand your mind. Expand your mind. And he asked for books, but he asked for something else there. He asked for the parchments. That would be the scriptures. He said, I got to read scripture. What's a good go-to book whenever you're feeling alone? Psalms. What's a good go-to book when you're depressed? Psalms. What's a good go-to book when you're going through anxiety? Yeah. What's a good go-to book when you're going through temptation? Psalms. Go to Psalms. Read it. Paul did. Read it. Well, I just need wisdom to get through this time of my life. Well, what book do you need to go to? Proverbs. I gotcha. Read the scriptures. Read it. Put yourself in the place of the people who wrote them. And begin to identify where they are in their life. Well, this is how Paul dealt with it in the earthly or the horizontal. He says, I need companionship. I need to have people around me. I need to have people around me. And also on the other end of it, I need to be aware of people who are lonely that I can go and minister to them because they need companionship, because I could be where they are, and chances are you will be where they are. And you want them to do unto you as you've done unto them. You want to read. You want to take care of your physical body. You want to expand your mind and heart. Don't waste your time. Don't waste your time. Don't waste your time. But there's another one that it deals in the area of the heavenly, or I call it the vertical relationship. You see, one thing about Paul, he knew the very presence of God. And he knew, even though he was alone physically, he knew that he was not alone in the spirit world. He knew that he was not alone at all. He's there. You ever feel as though sometimes that God is not even around you? It's okay to say yes, because there is. You ever been there? When you feel as though God's not around you, feel as though he's left you. We read that Psalm last week, Psalm 42. He says, I pant for water like a deer pant for water. I pant for God like deer pant for water. In other words, God, I'm thirsty for you, but I don't even know where you are. Where I used to find you, I can't find you anymore. And Lord, where are you? Life can get so dark that you wonder where God is. And life can become so lonely that you wonder if God is even there. But this is where you go back to your promise. He promises to never do what? Leave you nor forsake you. He says, I'll never leave you as an orphan. I'm there. Psalm 68. Turn over there with me real quick. It's in the Old Testament and it's that book of Psalms. Okay, Psalm 68. You there? Good. Listen to what it says. It says, God sets, in verse 6, God sets the solitary, the single, in families. The lonely in families. He brings out those who are bound in prosperity, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. God sets the solitary in families. That lonely one in groups. God does it. It tells me this, that God knows where I am. He has to put me where he wants me to be. And he's going to be there with me to put me where I need to be. Not only just to say, go over there, but to introduce me to where I'm to be. That means he's walking hand in hand with me, no matter what, no matter where. He's with me. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Paul said in that scripture we read a moment ago in 2 Timothy, he said, you know, everyone had left except the Lord. When I was standing there in that trial, no one was there with me, but the Lord was standing behind me. His presence was known. I wasn't alone, heavenly, even though no one was around me, earthly. But I knew the presence of the Lord. I'll tell you, when you know the presence of the Lord, you'll make it. You will. His presence will take you where you need to go. His presence sustains you. And he is what you need. And sometimes, listen, that is all you're going to get. Is him. Because you can be placed in a position, in a place where everyone cuts you off. Literally cuts you off. Paul happened. They cut you off and you stand by yourself because of being a believer in Christ and you're cut off. Oh, but you can smile and say, in the presence of all of my enemy, the Lord anoints my head with oil. The oil of gladness comes over me even when I am all alone. Whew. Read Psalm 23. The Lord is your shepherd who guides you in everything. But he prepares that table before you in the presence of all the enemies. And you're by yourself. And he anoints your head with oil. And Psalm 46 says it's the oil of gladness. That you can be alone and still be glad. Years ago, my dad died when I was 20 years of age. He was 46, something like that. 46 whenever he passed away. I was 20 years old when that happened. I went on and finished out college, went on to seminary, came back to Georgia and pastored a church. And I was in a church, man, they had deacons meetings. I call them Dickens meetings, man. They were, or demon meetings. I don't know what they were. They were awful. And but they had to do them on Tuesday night. And Monday, because they wouldn't do it on Monday night because that's Monday night football. And so they did them Tuesday night. And so I had to go to that meeting because I was a pastor. And so I would go to that meeting and it was hard. It was so hard to go through that meeting. One night we were at a meeting, got through the meeting, and it didn't go well. It didn't go well. Now, I didn't have to say anything. It didn't go well because it wasn't of the Lord. It just didn't go well. And I was riding back home, and we were in our 30s, and I remember leaving the church, coming down this street, came to a four-way stop sign in front of I.D. Golden, who was the retired fire chief, in front of his house. And I was saying, I was in my car, four-way stop sign. We're driving this old green station wagon. And I was up to here. And I felt like I didn't have a friend anywhere in the world. And I needed somebody to talk to. And I banged my steering wheel. And I said, I need my dad. Because I need to talk to my dad. I felt so alone. And I heard a voice. And it was the voice of the Lord who said this. I'm here. What do you need? I'm your dad. I'm here. So what do you need? I'm your dad. Wherever you are in your life right now, he's there. What do you need? You're really not alone. You're really not alone. And you're telling the Lord, Lord, I'm here. And the Lord says, I know exactly where you are. What do you need? What do you need? Talk to me. Well, Lord, I just need to be loved. I love you. Lord, I just need someone just to, that I can talk to. He says, talk to me. And he says, you know what else I'm going to probably send to you? I'm going to send somebody to you. So just go ahead and make a pie. Get ready. They're coming. If you ask, you shall receive. Ask anything in his name and you'll get it. You're lonely, you need somebody to come talk to you, ask him. Ask him. Well, Lord, I just need someone that can just be my friend. Ask him. Ask him. And he will deliver. So you're lonely? Ask him. Now, I told you a while ago to go around and tell people that you're here. Well, there may be people in this room right now that's lonely. And you told them, I'm here. Now, how did you tell them? Did you really mean it? I'm here. You need me? Let me know. I'm here. I'm here. So no one in this body should ever feel like they're all by themselves, hanging out to dry. But someone's here. That's the church. That's the church. So let's bow for a moment and pray, can we? And with your heads bowed for just a minute, and you may be in that lonely state right now. And you just need someone just to talk to. That might be why you come here on Sunday mornings, because you're just lonely and you just need to be around somebody, and that's good. And that's spiritual. It really is. That's good. Because this is where people can love one another. If you are lonely today, just talk to the Father and say, Lord, I'm just so lonely. Lord, reveal your heart to me, your presence. And then, Lord, meet that need that I have. And I'll just trust you with it. So, Lord, I'm letting you know I'm lonely. And then if somebody comes to you and say, well, how are you doing? And if you're lonely, tell them. Tell them. Be honest. Help them. And if you hear those words, then be a friend. Be a friend. Don't rush out. Be a friend. If you're here without Christ today, and if you were here without him, listen, you are lonely. And you're missing the greatest God that you'll ever, ever know, because there's only one and he's it. And he wants to be involved where you are. And he will and he can if you receive his son. He has already shown all of his love to you by giving his son for you on a cross. If you'll invite that son to come into your life and be the Lord of your life and master of your life, oh, you'll have an incredible fellowship with the Father of all the universe. And all you have to do is ask him to come in. And you'll have a friend and a Lord and a master forever. And Father, right now I pray for these, all of them. I don't know what everyone's walking through, but I know all of us are walking through something. And Lord, this world's tough. You know it. That's why you say in the scriptures that you sympathize with those who are walking on the earth, because Lord Jesus, you've gone through it all too while you were here. And so Lord, I guess, Lord, the words I need to really say to you is that, it's like the old hymn, I need you every hour. Every hour I need you. So Lord, bless me now, my Savior. I come to you with my need, because I need you. I need you. So Lord, become real right now, because we're about to worship you. And Lord, it'd be good, Lord, if they'd just sense you standing right there with them. As they sing to you, Lord, just may your spirit just stand right there with them, as you did with Paul. And may your spirit just sing unto yourself. And so, Lord, may we do that together with you and know your presence. And I thank you. You're so good. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.